Brother Chuck told me not to mess with the microphone tonight, so I'm not touching it, lest I be rebuked. It's good to see this number out tonight. We appreciate so much your presence. If you take your Bible and turn with me to the Gospel of Mark in the 15th chapter, that's where we'll begin our study in just a moment of time. In a few moments, we'll stand and sing the song that Brother Daniel has suggested, and if you've not put on Christ in baptism, all things have been made ready where you can confess Jesus as the Christ, be immersed for the forgiveness of sins, and be added to the family of God, and enjoy every spiritual blessing in Christ. In the book of Mark, in the 15th chapter, I want to read verse 1 with you to start our study. Immediately in the morning, the chief priest held a consultation with the elders and scribes and the whole council. And they bound Jesus, led him away, and delivered him to Pilate. In the Gospel of Mark, there's an interesting thought that escaped my attention, and as I was reading one commentator, it brought something to my mind that was very interesting. And that is, in Mark's account, how many times we see people handling Jesus and then handing him over to somebody else. I stand amazed when I took my Bible and looked in the Gospel of Mark and considered all the people that handled Jesus on the last night and the last day of his life. And I've been made to sorrow when I think about the people who grabbed him and how they treated him. No one wanted to assume responsibility of him, yet no one wanted justice bad enough to release him from the hands that hold him. And I've often thought about how they had hold of the Son of God and never realized whom it was they handled so roughly and violently. And with that in mind, let us note some of the times that Jesus was handed over. And then we'll make application and the lesson is yours. I'm sure that time will not permit me to look at every point I had down, but let's look as many as we can. If you take your Bible, let's not overlook in the book of Mark and the 14th chapter, the man identified as Judas. Before we look at those who handled the Christ in the 15th chapter, let us not overlook this man who agreed to betray Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. In the book of Mark, in the 14th chapter, in verse 10, you find that the scripture says that Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went to the chief priest to betray him to them. And when they heard it, they were glad and promised to give him money, so he sought how he might conveniently betray him. Notice that Judas was one who was willing to sell out Jesus. He was willing to hand him over. He was willing to identify this is Jesus. This is the one who's been preaching through Galilee. This is the one who's come to Jerusalem. And I can point him out. And you'll remember that he places that hypocritical kiss upon the cheek of my Lord. In essence, handing him over to the enemy. And look at the question that Judas had asked in the other gospel accounts, what will you give me? He was more interested in what he could get out of selling Jesus than he was being a disciple of Jesus. But now then, when you go back to the book of Mark in the 15th chapter, let us observe that here in verse 1, that Jesus was handed over. He was delivered to and bound by the religious leaders to Pilate. First, let us observe, they met, it said, with a consultation, not to better understand Jesus, but they were looking for a way to get rid of him. They had accused him of blasphemy, and they want to make their case before Pilate, and they want to accuse him of treason, of being a king. And the reason they want to do this, they want him put to death. The Jews at this time did not have authority to put one to death. You'll find in the book of Acts in the 7th chapter, they ignored that when they stoned Stephen. But they had to take the individual to the Romans if they wanted their person put to death. So the religious leaders hand Jesus off to Pilate. And notice, my friend, the religious leaders are doing so because they do not want Jesus undermining their power, their influence, and what they had established in Jerusalem. So in verse 2, notice Pilate asked, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And he answered and said to him, "It is as you say." The religious leaders say, "Look, he says he is a king." And in verse 2, it implies the charge they made. Are you the king of the Jews? And Jesus says, it is as you say. But Pilate realizes that Jesus is no threat to Rome's political system. But he's concerned, how is he going to deal with this man, lest he incite a riot? Because the religious leaders come with a charge saying he makes himself a king. He makes himself equal with God is what their concern was. But they knew that if they accused him of being a king, that that would cause a charge of treason for Rome. But have you ever noticed that Jesus is silent to several of Pilate's questions? Pilate asked in verses 3 through 5, some of the accusations that were made. And notice in verse 4, Pilate asked Jesus, do you not say anything? See how many things they testify against you. But Jesus still answered nothing. Now later he will speak, but Jesus does not answer the religious leaders or the political one either as they ask him questions. It reminds me of two Old Testament passages, and it should have reminded them. Open your Bible to the 38th Psalm. And when you come to the 38th Psalm, you'll remember the statement that is made in verses 13 and 14. But I, like a deaf man, do not hear, and I am like a mute who does not open his mouth. Thus I am like a man who does not hear, and in whose mouth is no response. They continued to make accusations, and Jesus would not respond. In Isaiah 53, you'll remember that great prophecy in verse 7, when Isaiah the prophet said, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. This made Pilate amazed. And this added to a long list of people who were amazed at Jesus. You want an interesting study? Just go through the book of Mark and look at how many times it says they were amazed at Jesus. But what is said is they were apt to be amazed, and that they were not apt to have faith in Jesus. But that brings us to something else. When they handed Jesus over to Pilate, Pilate did not want to have Jesus on his hand. So in verses 10 and 14, we find Pilate hands Jesus off to Herod. That was political expediency. He realizes the charges against Jesus are false, and yet he wants to satisfy the crowd. So you'll find in verse 10, he knew the chief priests had handed him over because of envy. So what does he do? He's going to send him to Herod. And I want you to think about that just as John the Baptist had been handed over for execution in Mark 6, now Jesus was handed over, and you'll find he's going to be handed over to Herod. And the reason is because Pilate does not want him on his hands. The religious leaders hand him over for execution because they do so out of religious expediency. And you'll find that Pilate hands Jesus over for political expediency. And yet, my friend, neither of them are going to be satisfied. Herod sends him back, as we find in the gospel parallels. But then if you take your Bible, look, if you will, in the book of Mark and the 15th chapter, and notice, if you will, this time that Pilate will give them the choice between Barabbas or Jesus. And look again, the word delivered or hand over is used. Pilate wanted to gratify the crowd, released Barabbas to them, and he delivered. That is, he handed over Jesus after he had scourged him to be crucified. Now, I want you to think about Herod sent him back. And so Pilate says, what do you want me to do? Who do you want me to set free? A murderer like Barabbas or this Jesus? You remember Barabbas had sought a revolution through violence, and Jesus caused a revolution through truth and love. And what may be called tragic irony, some of the same crowd who shouted Hosanna at the entrance of the gate, as we talked about this morning in Mark 11:9, are now manipulated to shout crucify. What is ironic is Hosanna means save now. Hosanna, save the king, David, save the one who's an heir of the throne of David. Save now. But now he's rejected in favor of taking Barabbas, who had taken life, and he becomes the one that they give to give his life. Think of the trade. Barabbas is one who had taken somebody's life, and they're going to crucify Jesus, the one who came to give life. And it says in John 10, to give it more abundantly. But then if you take your Bible in verses 12 through 15, you'll find that Jesus is handed over to the soldiers to be crucified. So thus far, we've noticed several from Mark's account. We've noticed that he was handed over by Judas. He was handed over to Pilate by religious leaders. And then we went out of the book of Mark and saw where he was handed over to Herod. And then the Herod hands him back to Pilate, and he is asked to hand over Barabbas. And notice in verses 12 through 15, he's handed over to be crucified. And I want you to think about, it was the job of these soldiers to carry out this execution. Well, they're going to make sport of Jesus. Remember, they put on the purple robe. They put on the crown of thorns. They spit on him. They beat him. Open your Bible to the Old Testament and look at the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 50. In Isaiah chapter 50 and verse 6, remember the prophecy, I gave my back to those who struck me, and my cheeks to those who plucked out the beard. I did not hide my face from shame and spitting. Again, notice the irony. They think they're mocking Jesus when they are the ones mocked because they were actually bowing before the king. When they bowed and mocked him and said, the king of the Jews, they were telling the truth, though they didn't realize it. They did not realize they were bowing before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But then if you take your Bible in Mark 15, look again at verse 21. In verse 21, notice they compel a certain man, Simon, a Cyrenian, the father of Alexander and Rufus, as he was coming out of the country and passing by, to bear his cross. The soldiers handed over part of the cross beam to Simon. And it's ironic, the man was named Simon. The first disciple called Simon, Peter, was nowhere to be found. He was following afar. But this man from Cyrene had come in, and notice the stranger with the same name handles the cross of Jesus. And you know what that would make him? Unclean to go to the temple. Remember under the old covenant, if you touched a dead body, you touched an instrument of death, you touched something of that sort, you could not go into the temple for worship. You were condemned unclean for a certain amount of time. And there's no telling how long Simon of Cyrene had saved up money to come from this trip. No telling how much he'd planned on this trip, how far he traveled, and yet he would not be allowed to go into the temple. But he got to see something even greater. The Lamb of God going to the cross. But then if you look in verses 42 to verse 47, you'll see the body of Jesus being handed over to Joseph of Arimathea for burial. They took the body. They buried it in a new tomb. Now I've thought about, here is one who is taking the body of Jesus off that cross. We know Nicodemus shows up. Some of the women might have been there. And they take and they wrap the body in linen cloth. I think about the man in Mark's account. If you look at the end of Mark chapter 14 and verse 51, you'll remember that a young man who followed him had a linen cloth thrown around his naked body. The young man, when they laid hold of him, left the linen cloth. Now we find the linen cloth being used for what? To wrap the body of Jesus. I thought about that. I thought about that one who had left his cloth behind, how that must have haunted him. I want to take that. I want to make three or four thoughts in the lesson journey. The first thing we got to ask ourselves is, what is our price to hand over Jesus? Now, most of us would say, I wouldn't hand him over for anything. He is my Savior. He is my King. And yet, my friend, some sell out very cheaply. They hand Jesus over for very little. And what we've got to do is examine our hearts just to see how much Jesus means to us. Because I want to tell you the second thing it's expedient to hand him over. It's easy to hand him over for political purposes, for religious expediency, just to say that you have nothing to do with him. Or to admit that you're his disciple. Sometimes it's easy not to deny him, just to come out and say, I don't know him. Sometimes the easiest thing to do is to not say you do know him and confess him. But remember, Jesus said, if you do not confess me before men, neither will I confess you before my heavenly Father. But thirdly, remember, we're going to have to take up a cross to follow. In Matthew 16:24, Jesus said, if any man who desires to follow me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. You know what that means? I'm going to live a life of sacrifice. I'm going to hand my life over to Jesus. And I'd be willing to suffer for it. But there's the one last thing I want us to think about. He's coming again. And the question that we have to ask is, to whom will we be handed over in eternity? Will he say, depart from me, I never knew you? Or will he say, enter into the joy of the kingdom of my Father? Question, where do you stand with Jesus? If you're here tonight and you need to obey the gospel, we pray this evening you'll do so as together we stand.